Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone, and happy belated Mother's Day for those of you around the world who may have celebrated it in different ways or forms. Thanks so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Before we get started with today's show, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the people who make today's show possible, the folks over at Markham Search. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, so please keep them in mind for all of your recruiting needs. And today we have with us on the show Lee Shulman. Lee is a degree writing mentor with 20 years of teaching experience under her belt. She taught at universities and writing programs worldwide and founded The Workshop, her online writing community and Creative Revolution book writing retreats in Costa Rica and Nicaragua. Her work has appeared in The Washington Post, New York Times, and Huffington Post, among others. She currently lives in Argentina with her family, where she writes and wonders if she is the only person on earth who doesn't like dulce de leche. Thanks so much for joining us today, Lee.
Thanks for having me here.
So where do I start? Do I start with dulce de leche? What brought you to Argentina or how you got into writing? I'll leave it up to you.
Let's see. Well, how about we start with dulce de leche? Because everyone loves it. I don't like it. And it's in every single cake here. I make my own. I've learned to bake. And then, let's see, I wasn't expecting to talk about dulce de leche, but let's see.
Why not? Throw a curveball. So, it's Monday.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I like most of the food here, but because it's a little bit of the same, I've learned to cook a lot. I've learned to cook everything. Like anything that when I lived in New York, it's easy. Like there's Chinese restaurants, there's Thai, there's anything you could possibly want. Whereas here, there's just not. So I've become a much better cook since we lived here, probably because I don't like dulce de leche and don't want to eat it. So
tell us, how did you wind up moving from New York to Argentina?
Well, my husband and I, and at the time we had one child, one daughter, we had been living there for quite a while. Our daughter was four and we just knew we didn't want to live there anymore. We just sort of felt like, well, you know what, like there's just not anything there for us anymore, as much as I love New York. And we decided to just sell everything and travel. And we traveled all over. We traveled in Europe and we lived in Panama for a while. And then we came to South America because a friend recommended it. And he was giving the conference where I currently live in Salta, Argentina. So he invited us and we're like, all right, cool, we'll go. And it really was taking a big leap. We had no idea what it was going to be like or what to expect. And then we got here and just really loved it and still traveled for a while at the beginning, but then kind of settled. And now we've been here 10 years and I love it here. Like I really felt Salta is, Buenos Aires is beautiful. It's the big city. There's a lot going on. And then Salta is like quieter and it's more in the mountains. And I even live a little outside of the city where we're literally surrounded by cows. Like we have cows coming to our yard in the morning.
That is amazing. Well, that's the good thing about being a writer. You can work from anywhere in the world, right?
Exactly. And that's a lot of that's what I teach people to do now. Like I used to teach in universities and teach composition. Or tutor people in writing and very specific writing skills. Whereas now I teach the writing skills, but also how to do it from anywhere, how to really shape the kind of writing you want to do and that you're not bound by where you are anymore because you want to write a book, you can find a publisher across the world. You want to write an article, you can pitch to anywhere on the planet, you know, that speaks the same language that you do, that you're going to be writing in. So I think it's really exciting because the world is so big and there's so many opportunities. The key is just sort of figuring out what you want and then making it happen.
Yeah. So tell me, how was it that you came to write this book, The Writer's Roadmap? What was the process that got you there?
Well, the process, it's work I've been doing with writers for about a decade. because I, you know, like I said, when we left New York and I started, you know, trying to figure out what I wanted to do, or, you know, how am I going to write? How am I going to, you know, make a living? I started writing from a distance, and I started taking on clients. And one of the things I did while I was taking on clients, because I had no idea how to run a business. I had no idea. I really didn't know what I was doing. So I joined a business mastermind. And in that mastermind, they taught us this concept of the OGSM, the Objectives, Goals, Strategies, and Measures, which is a format that a lot of small businesses will use to kind of create a business plan so that everyone in the company knows what it is and knows what to follow, what to do, what are our messaging, what's our branding. And then as I was working more with writers, I kind of realized often writers don't look at writing as a business. There's the business of writing, like how you publish, how you talk to editors, but very few writers, whether you're, you know, writing because you enjoy it and for healing, or you're writing because you want to write a book for your career, we tend not to look at writing within a bigger framework of our lives and of our work and things like that. So I had been working with people for so long and people were asking me questions and I really couldn't take on more clients one-on-one. So I'm like, you know, this book, I just need to write a book with all the information in it. So anyone who wants to write can take it, look at it, figure out what they want from their writing lives based on their own values, and then create the writing life they really want. And then it kind of breaks it down and allows you to sort of step by step. This is what I want. Okay, now that I know what I want, this is how I'm going to break it down and make it happen. So that's how the book came to be.
So is your book geared towards, because there are many different ways that you might write. And what fascinated me about your publicist press release and in talking to you initially is this concept that we all need to write, because some of us think, well, gosh, I'm never going to go out and write a book or do any sort of formal writing. Why would I go get this book, or why would I study how to write? Tell me what you think is important about writing and why it applies to everyone.
Got it. And okay. And I do want to say, like, if somebody really truly believes they're not interested in writing, you know, then fine, it's not for you. But in my experience, almost everyone wants to write. I very rarely meet somebody who doesn't want to write. Normally it's more like, oh, I can't write. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. You know, no, you know, it's not interesting. And one thing I found pretty much across the board is when people say, oh, who's going to care? Their stories are kind of like, what are you kidding? That's a fascinating story. There's a woman that I know, a client of mine now, she came to one of my retreats in Costa Rica, and she basically had been, she'd been living in South Africa. She was in an abusive relationship, and she basically engineered her complete disappearance and went to Saudi Arabia because she knew her ex-husband could not get into the country to get to her. And then this started this long travel experience for her. And she said to me, she thought her story wasn't interesting. You know, and I bet many of your listeners are also thinking, oh, you know, what am I, who am I, what am I doing? My story is not that interesting. I can almost guarantee you that it is. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're working in technology or business or whatever it is that you do, whoever you are, you have a story, and it's important, and it connects with stories that other people tell. So my feeling is don't count yourself out. If you have this idea that you want to write, that it would be interesting, that it might be fun, and there's that little voice being like, well, maybe not, or I'm not going to be any good at it, or there's fear and doubt that pops up, acknowledge it. It's there. We all have it. I've been writing for, like, I don't know, 25 years or more. It still comes up, but you recognize it. There. And then my book and the work that I do with people is to kind of say, well, let's take the fear out of it. And the way I take the fear out of it is, first, you don't worry about what happens. When are you going to publish? You don't worry about the small details. First, you picture your perfect writing life. What does writing mean in your life? What do you want it to mean? What would be your most perfect idea? And I'll tell you, like, most of the time, people want to write books. They really do. Almost everyone I know has an idea for a book. And then once you have that it's a sort of a one sentence idea. And in the book, I really break it down into what that sentence includes and how you shape it and how to use the words to really create that exact life that you want in one sentence. Then you kind of break it down. And once it's broken down, it's a to-do list. So it's a lot easier to say, all right, today I'm going to go and research places to publish, as opposed to I'm going to be a published writer. I'm going to be a published writer is big. It's too big to figure out, like, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? Whereas thinking, oh, what are my favorite publications? What's my number one top publication that I'd love to read? How could I possibly send an article to them? That's much simpler. That breaks it down to two steps. And then you learn what you need to learn in order to, how do you pitch? How do you approach an editor? And I have lots of resources for that on my website and also in my workshop writing group that helps really give people the skills they might not know in order to make it, into implement the plan that they have.
Wow, very cool. So tell me a little bit about this. So writing, obviously writing is pervasive in business and the professional world. Everywhere that you go, everything from writing a cover letter, writing a resume, writing blogs, writing memos. How can somebody apply this knowledge? Because we all have fears like, uh-oh, what if I'm about to send this email to my CEO and I have a period in the wrong place or it doesn't sound correct? Are there any recommendations that you could have for those sorts of fears? I know somebody had mentioned in the teaser on LinkedIn today, he said, well, gosh, Jen, you know, I don't have a fear of writing, but I have a fear of writing cover letters. How could somebody apply that to the business world?
To the business world. And I think bios are really hard to write. Everyone I know, it's almost like we could write a whole book and then a bio is one of the hardest things there is to write. And resumes also, because it really requires you to distill huge amounts of information, present it to other people, and put yourself in a positive light. And I think some people have a harder time putting themselves, it feels like bragging to a lot of people, or it feels like, well, how do you get all those pieces of information into that? So the one thing that I always say, and I think this applies to language learning also, is communication is the most important. Getting your point across to someone else is the number one thing. So whether you're sort of saying, giving a description of the job, of a very specific job, or you're having an objective of what kind of job you're looking for, or you're talking about, you know, your other skills or the skills that you use on your job, the key is to narrow it down to what is the number one thing that is most important about this? What is it that you want someone to really take away from it? And that's actually, when I sort of say, like, how do you get it down into one simple sentence? I apply that to so many things, whether it's one sentence that describes your writing life for the writer's roadmap plan, or one sentence that describes, that tells people what you want your readers to understand and feel when they're finished writing the book that you want to write, or how do you get a main point across to a potential employer so that when they're looking at your resume, and, you know, they're kind of skimming through your resume and they're not really necessarily going to be paying attention to every single detail. How do you make sure that each sentence is very clearly representing exactly what you want? And again, that goes back to knowing what you want, knowing who you are, what your skills are, what you know how to do, and then putting that into one very, very clear sentence.
Yeah, so it sounds like just kind of understanding your value proposition, whether you're pursuing being a published author or if you're really just trying to go out there and land your dream job. It's about being able to clearly communicate in a concise, effective way what it is you want or the value that you're bringing to the table. And in doing so, that kind of gives you a basis for either the writing of the resume, the writing of the book, whatever that might look like.
Absolutely. And it's also a reflexive process too, because in order to put down that one clear sentence, you have to know. You have to be really clear in who you are. You know, again, whether it's a company, whether you're starting a company or you're finding a job or you're writing a book or pitching an editor, it always comes down to that one sentence. And if you can't put it into one sentence, it probably means you don't know exactly what it is. You're not clear on it yet. So then you just kind of keep going. And I use free writing a lot to get to that one sentence in a lot of different ways. And I use that with my client. I use it myself and I use it with my clients. And I say, so basically free writing is you spend 10 minutes, you know, you set a timer, you spend 10 minutes and you just write anything that comes out. No erasing, no editing, no judging, nothing. You just write until it's done. If you don't like what you're saying, you just move to the next line and keep going. You know, stop what you're saying, move to the next line and pick up somewhere else. And that really helps get to the core of what you really want. You know, you might have a lot of scraps on paper, but what you really think will come out, because it kind of gets rid of the self-conscious process and helps you get to the basis of really what you want and who you are and what you want to communicate to other people. So the number one is sort of having that clear sentence, and then free writing will help you get there. And I say this in every lecture, every workshop that I give, that free writing is probably the most powerful tool you can ever use for your writing life. Because let's just say I've been teaching, you know, in all different areas, like 20, 30 years, and it never fails. Like, it truly never fails.
And that's, wow.
Yeah, no, it really is. Like, I, there was one person who, but I think she really didn't want to do it. But literally, like, if you really want to know, try that exercise and you will get where you're going.
Yeah, I think that could be so helpful, especially too. People feel so stuck with a cover letter. And cover letters, I posted probably a month or two ago on LinkedIn an inquiry of, is the cover letter dead? And this idea of being able to present yourself in a concise way, and as I was mentioning to the person who posted an inquiry earlier today before the show online, for me, I think the cover letter is a chance to talk about your value and to cover any fears or the hesitations the employer might have about you. And I think that if you look at a well-written cover letter or resume or business proposal or executive summary, that's the difference between getting the job, getting the business deal that you wanted, and not getting it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I think I've been reading some things also, and is the cover letter dead? And, you know, like in my work, I don't often send out, it doesn't usually work. I don't usually send, you know, like a 2-page document one, like I used to with like a cover letter and a resume. It's usually the email. So my email is kind of my cover letter, or when I'm submitting, sometimes there'll be like a little submitting to journals. Sometimes there's like a little piece where you say, you know, what, who you are, and you have an opportunity to write the equivalent of a cover letter. And I think you're exactly right. It's an opportunity to make yourself stand out even more so, to say like, this is who I am. These are my values. And to give your, literally give yourself a voice that, you know, that doesn't appear, that doesn't come through as easily in like a one sentence description of what you did that starts with a verb, you know, to like that someone can scan. So it's you on the page. So I think you're 100% right.
Yeah, and it was funny when we're talking about this idea of cover letters or writing. One of my girlfriends is a writer, and she went to a writing conference recently. And I didn't realize that both from a writing professionally standpoint, as well as from a resume reading and writing standpoint, you really only have the first 2/3 of the first page to make an impact in the recruiting world. I've always said that to job seeker. If you are putting all of your relevant stuff and all the important stuff below the first 2/3 of the first page, nobody's ever going to read it. And my friend who went to this writer's retreat said, yes, sure enough, they had some of the top agents and publishers in the world who said that they really only read the first 1/2 to 2/3 of the first page of any manuscript, whether it's a nonfiction, fiction, that you just really have to capture their attention in that first 2/3 of that page, which is a lot of pressure. But if you really put the time and attention into how could you write this well? Could you take a little bit of free flow writing time beforehand instead of just sending it off without a second thought?
Right. And I think that when you're sending something to an agent or a publisher, you know, it shouldn't really take you a whole page to get to the point. Like, if you know what your book is about, if you know whether it's fiction or nonfiction, that should be really, and fiction, usually you write the book first and then send a kind of very specific overview, whereas nonfiction, you often send a proposal. But in both cases, you're really communicating that information in a very, very quick way. And even if you're writing, and also if you're writing to editors of magazines to have them publish a story of yours, I always say you start the first sentence. You want them to know at the very beginning, I would like to write a story about, and then be very clear what that story is about. And if you can't be clear like that, again, it's the same thing. It probably means you don't know what it is that you're trying to say. And therefore, you know, if you can't communicate it that quickly, it's time to do a little bit more work first and do some of that, the digging and the free writing, and figure it out. But yeah, no, the business of writing and that side of writing is very much like, you know, it's very much like the, like sending in a resume, a cover letter, an executive summary, all of those things, where you have to communicate a solid amount of information in a very, very small space. And it's a skill. It takes a while to learn how to do that.
So tell me, when you're talking about this free form writing or this free flow writing that you might do for 10 minutes, do you start off with the topic at hand? Say if you're writing a resume or if you're writing a one pager or a, you know, perhaps the first page of a book, are you going to focus on the idea around the book or can you free flow? That's, oh my gosh, a tongue twister, free flow write just off the top of your head, any topic?
There are different ways to do it, and it depends on what your final goal is. So I say there's open free writing, which is you basically sit down and you just write whatever comes to mind. And I will often do that with people with the first time we're working together. I often do it in webinars, in sort of journaling webinars or how to start writing or get over your fears, where I'm just like, okay, 10 minutes. And it's often really uncomfortable at the beginning. And I even say, like, if what's coming into your head is this is the stupidest thing I have ever done in my life, write it down. Just write it down because you're getting all that top stuff off. But then you always sort of get into an idea and you sink into something else. And it's amazing. Like I'll do a 10-minute free write in a webinar where the only way that I can communicate to people is in a chat. And people will come up with the most like deep ideas about family and how they see life and their philosophies. And they'll come up with an idea for a book that they've always wanted to write, but they never really fully admitted. Now, if you're trying to come up with an idea for a resume, or you're trying to hone something in on a resume or a cover letter, then I would say have it be more directed and say, all right, I am writing a cover letter to this particular person for this particular role in this job. And you kind of keep that in the back of your mind, and then you do the same thing with the free writing. So again, if the first thing that comes up is sort of that, oh, I don't know what to do, I don't know what I have to offer these people, da 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 da, that's okay. Just get that crap out first, because once you get below that, then you start to sink into, oh no, actually, I'm really good at this, and this is why I'm the perfect person for the job, and this is what I know about your company, and why I really respect you, and I really like to work for you, and you know, and all the other little pieces that are so important to include come out. And then when you have it on paper, then it's a lot easier to say, all right, this is just the draft. This doesn't mean anything. You know, these are my three main ideas I might need to embellish. So then you can take that free writing and start to organize it and clean it up a little bit. But just that getting it on paper is very freeing when you have no rules to getting it on paper. Yeah, so does that make sense, the difference between the directed and the open free write?
Yeah, it makes sense. It just depends on, like, obviously, if you're trying to write a book, you might want to do free writing and come up with new ideas, versus if you're trying to write a specific paper or write a resume, then you might want to start off with something a little bit more specific and just get out of your head and see what comes up.
Exactly, 100%. The more you know of what you want, the more directed you'll be. But the key is to just, the real key is to just not have any pressure to have to create something in particular, to just let it go where it's going to go in those 10 minutes of writing. And I've done free writes. I did one free write with a workshop at a retreat in Costa Rica, where everyone started writing, and at the end of 10 minutes, I looked up and everyone was still furiously writing. So I just kind of, I didn't stop it. Normally, you know, I'll be like, okay, we have another minute, finish up. But I just let it go. And people wrote for about 45 minutes straight without stopping. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. And, you know, but, and no pressure. I definitely no pressure for it to be 45 minutes. You know, that's just 10 minutes. That's a great writing motto. Just 10 minutes. Because everybody has 10 minutes. You can find it at any time of the day. You know, So you don't have that pressure to like, oh, I have to spend the next 2 hours writing, or I've got to finish this whole project. No, just 10 minutes. And that's a great entry point just to get things going.
And so tell me, are there different types of writing aside from writing a business paper versus a resume versus book?
What do you mean by type?
Well, when you talk about, I know you and I talked in the pre-show about, you know, to do a different type of writing. When you say, are there different styles of writing that you can use to approach these different situations, for example, where you might write one thing versus another?
Well, for sure. So, you know, each type of writing will have a different tone, has a different audience, has a different way that you approach it. So whether you're writing for a magazine or you're writing a nonfiction book or a nonfiction book proposal, and, you know, many people write when you're writing a nonfiction book, you know, and I think nonfiction books might also apply more directly to somebody who might be listening to the show and looking for a job, because writing a book based on your expertise is a really, really great way to get your name out there and to give yourself authority. So let's say you're writing a I found that when my book published, and I, you know, people have said that to me, but suddenly people could find me on Amazon, and there's something, you know, there's something about being on Amazon. There's something about being able to say, hey, you know, this is really simple. Read my book first. That will let you know who I am. And it establishes authority in a really significant and interesting way. You know, it really expanded my reach. I met people that I never would have met otherwise. You know, and I got to sort of entry into a lot of communities that I might not have if I didn't have the book. But when you know, and my book, I did write the book first because it was based on a process. But a lot of times you don't have to write the book first. You can write a proposal. So each type of writing is slightly different. So, for example, a proposal is probably similar to a cover letter in certain ways, in that you're getting right to the point and you're really cleaning it up, and the language is more busy. Whereas if you're writing a fiction book, you're going to be much looser and you're going to tell stories and you're probably going to have dialogue and more narrative. Whereas if you're writing for a publication, and writing for publications is also a really great way to build your authority. So like if you're looking for a job and you can tell your potential employer, oh yeah, I wrote about this topic for Forbes. You know, it builds who you are, what you do, your name is out there, and also has the side benefit of people see your writing out there and they often contact you to hire you. And you can share it on LinkedIn and you can share it on social media so that people, there's something about people seeing your writing before they meet you that really, like, it's like, oh my God, yeah, I've read what you've had to say. I agreed with it. It made a lot of sense. And then you're right there in front of them. So when you are writing for a magazine, and it also, you know, like a place like Forbes or, you know, a women's magazine like She Knows, an online magazine, or Good Housekeeping, there's different types of writing. So whether it's, all right, five ways that you can use writing to benefit your job search. And I actually did write a piece like that quite a while ago for Business Week, which got picked up by a couple other places also. Or, you know, for a women's magazine, you know, I wrote another article about 10 things that you need to know when you go to the hospital to give birth. Or, you know, they're often a lot more prescriptive. They're easier to write in that sense because you're breaking a topic down. But does that cover the types of writing, or is there something that
makes a lot of sense. I think that's brilliant. And for me personally, what I found was very helpful when I first started writing years ago was blogging. Sometimes if you just have somebody who has a problem and you might have to answer, that's how I wrote my book, was just to answer people's questions via blogs and eventually condense that all into book format. And so for me, I felt it was very daunting to try and even fathom what it looks like to write a book. And to be able to write a lot of those articles and then compile them and figure out how to organize them, that seemed easier. Although years ago, I did Mark Victor Hansen's writing class, and he was great, the guy from Chicken Soup for the Soul. And his recommendation was to interview people. And that was a very comfortable thing, too, because everybody loves to talk about a subject. So if you pick any subject under the sun, I tell this to a lot of people who are looking to get into a particular field, go out and interview people in that field and just tell them, hey, I'm writing a blog or I'm writing a book about this. Collaborate with them, write articles, take 10 minutes of their time, and all of a sudden you've just made yourself an expert in that field.
Absolutely. And that is an amazing idea, actually. And thank you for bringing it up, because that is exactly what people do, where they'll have three blog posts that go to, even now, like even if it's not more of an authority blog post, and you know, you spend your time building up the blog, or not, you can take three blog posts, put them in a book and put them on Amazon, because there's some people who they may not go online and read a blog regularly, but they may be willing to, you know, to send a book to their Kindle, or they may be willing to, they don't want a digital, they want something they can hold in their hand. So you can bundle your blog posts, put them together in a way that people won't see them on your website, and then suddenly you have a book. So yeah, absolutely, that's a fantastic idea, as is interviewing people. Interviewing people is fantastic.
And the other thing I'll say, I don't know if you advocate for this for the people who do your workshops, is for me, I found editors are a godsend. So whether it's an editor, for example, if you're writing a book, but for me, I had to write my first white paper last year, and I did not know how to scientifically, there's a certain tense that you have to write a white paper in that's more scientific than the way I normally write. And it was so helpful. On Fiverr, I was able to hire somebody who was an editor who could go through and make sure the tenses were in alignment with more of a scientific-oriented paper. In the same way that when I was putting my book together, I hired an editor who was specific to that sort of genre. And you can hire people. And even if you don't have the money or the time for an editor, that's what friends are for. Friends, family members, mm-hmm. maybe somebody you know who has an English degree. Just have them help you proof it to make sure it looks good before it goes out.
Absolutely. I always say every writer needs a reader. And that's exactly what you're saying, you know. Because when we're deep in our write, whatever it is that we're writing, we know the thought process behind it. We know everything that goes on around it. And it's really easy for us to miss little details that someone can read it and be like, you never really said that, like in a cover letter, for example, like you never actually said why you're good for the job. Oh, okay, no. Or one detail that really does need to be there that you've overlooked because you've been thinking about so many details. And the same with when you're talking about the book or the white paper, absolutely, you know, getting an editor in to address a very specific topic. And the way you said it was really dead on. You had one editor who helped you with the tenses in a white paper, but that same editor might not be the same editor who would have helped you with your book, because that was a different topic, it was a slightly different format. So, you know, I do developmental editing for people with their books. So they'll come to me, whether it's with an idea or, you know, a very rough draft of a book, and I will help them develop it into a full book, looking at structure and form and, you know, character development. Whereas for my book, after I was finished, I hired a copy editor who went through and, like, she looked at it and she's like, does everything make sense? And is the punctuation correct? It doesn't, you know, am I using the same word too many times? And that's the difference also between, you know, it makes the difference between a book that's sort of sitting on your computer and a book that people can read, or a publication or whatever it is, a paper or a publication that people can really read. So I'm a big fan of editors, a very big fan of getting someone to read and give feedback.
Yeah, because you don't even know the little things that you do. Like, I'm always very self-critical and judgmental. Twice on the show today, I said the word wow. And I remember years ago, I think it was like the first KNX radio interview or something I did, I said the word absolutely like 500 times. Or the word like or just. I remember one of the very first things I ever wrote, my mom was so cute. She was helping me, this was 10 years ago. And she said, honey, you know I love you, right? And I said, yes. And she said, you've used the word just this, just that. And you're trying to justify it. And I didn't realize how much that invalidated everything that I was writing. And now it's something I'm consciously mm-hmm. aware of, but I would have never noticed it had my mom not pointed out.
Yeah, no, and I'm going to say now, absolutely. I say absolutely a lot, actually, now that you mention it. And that's a really good point, you know, and I fully agree. Just is something I think particularly women tend to say a lot. I know I do, and I just, and I'm sorry. You know, oh, I'm sorry to bother you, but, you know, have you checked my XYZ? You know, and it's great to have somebody to be like, oh, yeah, just cut that out. The person, there's a book that I'm doing some developmental editing on right now, and I have had a lot of comments like that for her, where it's like, you know, you don't have to make excuses for your authority. Just, you don't have to say, I think, we know you think it, it's your opinion, the whole book is your opinion. It's cool, we know. You don't have to make excuses for why you've done something a certain way. Just say it. And yeah, feedback is in anything, I think. Feedback in writing, feedback in business ideas, feedback in business plans is, you know, I'm always asking the people in my workshop group for feedback, like, is this working? What format do you like? because they're the ones using it. And, you know, when we write something, you want to know what the reader thinks, because that feedback is invaluable. It's invaluable for helping you develop something. Now, knowing how to take feedback. So when your mom said, "Just," you know, how did you react when she said that? Were you like,
"Oh, I was crushed. You know, I would get I was totally crushed. This was 10 years ago. And now when I get feedback, I'm grateful. I'm like, wow, this person really cares enough to give me the feedback. So I really appreciate it. Whether I get good or bad, any sort of feedback, I really reflect and I go, oh, okay, wow, that's for my greater growth and development. Because if she, you know, sometimes people will push something under the rug or ignore it. And true, you know, loving somebody or supporting somebody is calling them out. And then learning how to receive feedback, like you said, you know, back in the day, I took it personally. But speaking of books, one of my favorite books of all time is Don Miguel Ruiz, The Four Agreements. And in his book,
oh, I love that book.
Oh, isn't it amazing? And I think one of the four
it's
agreements
a fantastic
is,
book.
Yeah, he says, don't take anything personally, whether somebody says you are the most talented writer in the whole wide world or your writing is crap. Neither one is personal. It's just a reflection of where that person is. Now you get a chance to evaluate it. And I think even Brené Brown, I was just watching her TED Talk, or not TED Talk, but her Netflix documentary called A Call to Courage. And in it, she says, listen, people are going to have opinions of you, and you get to choose what opinions you value. And what you really want to look at is, are these people out there living their lives? Because she was talking about when she did her TED Talk, all the criticism she received, people bad-mouthing her, saying she was fat, saying she was ugly, all these horrible things. And she realized, you know what? These aren't people who are out there playing in the arena. And she references a great Theodore Roosevelt quote about daring greatly. And it's so true. When we dare greatly, we put ourselves out there, whether it's writing something or doing a speech or doing something you're afraid of, you have to be careful whose opinions you value and whose you don't. If somebody off the street says, your writing sucks and I hate your book, you just have to consider the source and not take that personally.
Right. Absolutely. And I just started watching that Netflix special. So I'm just up to the point where she's looking at the comments from her Netflix.
Exactly.
No, from her TED Talk. She's just looking at them. And I was horrified when I heard the comments, like all about what she looks like. Well, you know, and I always say this with writing, is what she looks like, is that, you know, just to sort of expand on it, like, what she looks like has nothing to do with her TED Talk. If somebody looks at your book and says, I hate this, or whatever you're writing and says, this is awful, well, does that help you improve? Does it help you change? No, ignore it. If it's an ad hominem attack, that's like, it's not helpful. It's basically as unhelpful as, I loved it. Well, I can't do anything with that either. I really can't do anything with I loved it, because, oh, it was A-okay, awesome, thumbs up. I'm glad you're being positive, but it almost, like, at this point with my writing, it's kind of like, well, I'm glad you liked it, but I would rather hear how it works. Like, what did you like? Why did you like it? Why did you not like it? But yeah, getting feedback. I mean, I've been getting feedback on my writing for so long that I really appreciate, you know, I don't even think of it as negative. I think of it as constructive. And if something is, you know, I hate this word, or this is stupid, or something sort of more ad hominem that doesn't help me improve, then I'm like, all right, moving on. There's no benefit in that.
Yeah,
but it took a long time to get here.
Well, it's funny,
right.
If you don't mind, I'd love to share with you, because I love the quote that Brené Brown shared so much from Theodore Roosevelt that I saved as a meme on my phone. So if you're open to it, for our listeners out there, I'd love to share it with everybody, because I was like in tears when I heard this the other day. It was just exactly that moment where you need to hear this. So it's Theodore Roosevelt, and he says, it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcomings, but who actually strives to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who knows at best, in the end, the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat.
Oh, I just got chills. Yeah.
Isn't it? That's how I felt. It was gorgeous. So amazing when I heard it. Brene Brown does it even better when she does it in her documentary on Netflix. But it just was exactly the message I needed to hear that day.
Yeah. And I always say, like, also, I think, and I'm not the only one who says this, and Brene Brown is definitely someone who her philosophy and her ideas have, A, been huge comfort and inspiration for me. One time I was heading to a retreat, and I had like a 24-hour trip there. I was going on my own, and I think it was my first one in Nicaragua, and I just had these moments of doubt, and I happened to find a bunch of her talks on my computer, and I just started listening to them, and they made me feel like, you know what, it doesn't matter if I make a mistake. It doesn't matter what happens next. The fact that I am doing this and I'm stretching my boundaries and I'm getting out there is what matters, because, you know, we can all follow exactly what we've always done over and over and over, or we can try something new and just sort of see where we go, because it's only by doing that, like facing our fears, that we, you know, and sort of that taking the leap, that we kind of, we grow as humans, and that we're able to achieve things that we never thought we were. And I think that's where we can find some of our greatest joy and triumph, even with the failure.
Exactly. Dare greatly, as Brene Brown says. Well, you and I could talk about this for ages, Lee, but tell me, were there any other questions you wish I would have asked or takeaways you'd love our listeners to walk away from today's show with?
So I would say three specific takeaways. First of all, everyone has something to say. Even if you feel like no one wants to hear it, or you're not good enough, or whatever it is, everyone has something to say, and there's always someone out there who wants to hear. And then the second thing is, you're going to feel fear, you're going to worry about failure, but those things, just take one small action, break it down, take one small action and move through it, because if it's something you want, you will reach it, and failure will actually help you get there. And most of all, like, that our stories matter, who we are matters, and they're important, and they're more powerful than we could possibly know.
So, I love that, Lee. Well, tell me, if people are inspired to do a workshop with you or want to pick up the book, remind me again of the name of the book and where people can find it, as well as any info on your workshops.
Sure. Okay. So the name of my book is The Writer's Roadmap, Paving Your Way to the Ideal Writing Life. And you can find it on Amazon, whatever country you're in, it's available all over the world. So just go to your local Amazon and it'll be there. And it'll walk you through step by step, everything you need to know to create your plan. And if you want to work with me, or you want to join my workshop, you just go to my website, which is leighshulman.com, LEIGHSHULMAN.com. And everything you need to know, from my workshop to the book to, you know, I have lots of writing lessons on the blog and free resources. So just go check it out at leighshulman.com. And also feel free to drop me a line and tell me you heard the show and you want to talk about Brene Brown and you want to share greatly. And I'd love to have a
tattoo. Awesome, Lee. I love it. I think this has been a great conversation. And I think it's so great because we all write at some point or another in our lives. And it's just about letting go of the fear and trusting mm-hmm. that, you know what we have to say is important. Just like you said, I think that's critical.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm so honored to have been here. And, this is a fun conversation. I really enjoyed it.
That's it, Lee. I'm so happy we did this. And thank you so much to all of our listeners, wherever in the world you might be tuning in from, whether it's today or later down the road. Thank you for your support, because without you, this show wouldn't be possible. And just like we were talking about with criticism, feedback, please feel free to find us on Facebook. We have a Get Yourself the Job page on Facebook, where I often share press releases and articles that I get from other publicists that don't make it to the show. And you can also leave us feedback on iTunes. You can find the show under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes and find all of our prior shows on there. Feel free to rate us, leave us any feedback, or find this show or any other ones at the bottom of the latalkradio.com webpage with the Get Yourself the Job section, and you'll find all of our prior archives on there for your reference. So thank you so much for everyone who tuned in, and thank you again, Lee, for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.